JC Corcoran Podcast.
Here's my marriage quiz. Your wife comes in and says, "Do you think I look fat?" Do you say, A, yeah, you could lose a few. B, no, honey, you've never looked better. Or C, wait, let me get my protective headgear. Well, some of you might have been encouraged to be honest about your feelings. That's what happened to me, and I said, A, yeah, you could lose a few. And as they say in the nature specials, when the wildebeest leaves the herd, sadly now, there can be but one outcome. Now here's another thing, you know, I think people think that a woman couldn't be commander-in-chief of the army because she'd be afraid to kill you if she had to. I don't think it's so. She'd kill you. Just not in ways in which you're accustomed to seeing people get killed, that's all. I mean, she wouldn't use a boat or a tank or a plane. That wouldn't be her style. It'd be too obvious. Thinking back, I'd say if a woman really wanted to kill you, she might just get to know you first, then after a while, have you do it to yourself.
Is it true that you've been married to the same woman twice?
Yeah.
And so you were married once, and then you got a divorce.
Yeah, and couldn't help myself. But what we ended up doing was hanging out all the time.
Right.
You know, because we really didn't know how to really be apart.
Right.
It's just that when we were married and living in the house and all of that, it was just that we didn't know how to do that. My parents are married 46 years, and they looked tremendous. And, you know, the first time I was married, like, you know, just under an hour. It was like my friends would come over to my house. I was already like a burglar in my own home. I mean, they'd come over and say, Daryl would say, "Oh, shut up. She's right. Better." Now, you see, like, if you guys laugh at that at all, it's because you must know what it's like to drop a towel on the floor and hear an alarm go off. Because you broke a rule, the kind of rule which exists only in a house full of love. Yes, here you'll find rules for the bathroom, rules for the kitchen, rules for the sweet and low dispenser. That stack of dishes in the sink, how long can they stay there? You'd better know. Because somebody knows. And since there's only two of you on the rules committee, how much you want to bet it ain't you. Now, you don't get divorced because the thrill is gone. It's because you don't know how to stack the tapes right underneath the VCR. Or you put the spoon.
That's true.
My wife would get so mad at me that the hole in her mouth was no longer big enough for all the topics to come out at one time. And she'd like yell at me as I'm like being yelled at by an auctioneer, like, "Daryl, damn it! $100 bid, $100 seat, $100 bid."
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, "I've heard it all before"? It's like deja vu all over again.
Thursday, January 13th, 2022, 299 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. And let's go ahead, let's make it official. The Schnucks Panic Aisle is officially open. Well, it depends on how bad this thing actually ends up being. Let me just see what Fox 2 is saying here.
So something to watch out for. Then as temperatures really start to fall, we're going to see snow through the overnight hours into Saturday. 1 to 3 inches of accumulations possible from this system. It's going to be cold this weekend. Highs only in the low 30s.
See, they're saying 1 to 3. Dave Murray is saying 2 to 3, with some places getting 4.
And I also wouldn't be surprised if they fine-tune this and revise it a couple of times between now and tomorrow afternoon. You know, the forecast, St. Louis time, gets updated about 4:30 every afternoon. National Weather Service updates their forecast, and a lot of people just pick that up and carry it. The individual meteorologists for each of the television stations have their own forecast. A lot of them, by the way, will not look at the National Weather Service stuff until after they have already issued their forecast because they don't want to be influenced by it. There's a real interesting competitive situation that goes on between and among the television meteorologists. And then you have private weather forecasting services, which is an interesting concept, but they do exist because people who lay asphalt and build houses and just do a lot of outdoor type stuff, they need really, really specific forecasts, okay? Because think about it. If you're in the far western regions of what is called the St. Louis area, you're talking about, you know, to the southwest all the way to Sullivan, you got to Wentzville, Wright City, stuff like that. So that's all part of the St. Louis area, quote-unquote St. Louis area. Now, that swings all the way into Metro East, and now you're going as far as maybe even Mount Vernon, okay, which is all considered the St. Louis region. Now, take that drive sometime. Drive from Wright City all the way to Mount Vernon. Don't even do that. Go as far as O'Fallon, Illinois, all right? Go out to the airport out there in Muskoka. That's a long drive. That's about a two-hour drive. So a lot of times people will say, well, the weather forecast was wrong. They said it was going to rain and it didn't rain in my house. Well, the weather in Wentzville is going to many times be completely different than the weather in O'Fallon, Illinois. And when it comes to snow, it's even trickier than that, especially with this one because it's an Alberta Clipper. This is not a sort of a quote-unquote traditional snowstorm that starts spinning out of the Pacific Northwest and then swings down around Arizona and then starts coming up over the Rockies and over I-44 and right up towards St. Louis. That is your traditional winter storm path. But you also have these things called Alberta Clippers, and these come in from Canada, from the Northwest. They don't follow that other track, and they come in. They don't have a lot of moisture to work with. They also produce really, really light, fluffy snow. And with an Alberta Clipper, it's really unusual to get more than, I would say, maybe 4 inches. Usually it's in the 2 to 4 inch range. These storms are just not working with enough moisture to do any more damage than that. And that's what this one is. So again, when you start talking about what the region is, well, you go ahead, you try to do that sometime. You try to make a forecast that spans that many miles in basically a 2 hour span. And I'm not, you know, going out of my way to unjustifiably credit the weather forecasters and the meteorologists for, I don't know, I'm not trying to say they're right all the time because they're obviously they're not. What I'm just saying is it's a more difficult thing to do than people think. And people always want everything to be an exact science. And meteorology is one of those things that simply is not an exact science. You can want it to be all the as much as you want. It's not going to make it happen. So anyhow, you have these private weather forecasting services all over the place. So if you're laying asphalt in Belleville, your weather forecast could be completely different than the weather forecast in Sullivan, Missouri. And so you have these meteorologists and these weather services that you never really hear very much about, probably never for a lot of people. You're hearing about this for the first time. But what they'll do is they'll say, okay, this storm is going to sort of cut off at the river and everything in Metro East should be really, really light or maybe non-existent. Go ahead and lay your concrete, lay your asphalt. And then you have Dave Murray, who for years and years, I think he just gave this up. But I know that up until about maybe 2 years ago, you know, because Dave still does radio. He doesn't do television anymore. But he was the Cardinals guy. So when there would be a rain delay, the Cardinal groundskeepers and even John Mozeliak sometimes would actually physically get on the phone with Dave and say, all right, what do we got here? Is this thing going to wash out? And he'd say, yeah, this thing's going to be done in about a half an hour. Just leave the tarp on. You guys will be playing ball in 45 minutes. Or this does not look good. This could actually be a rainout tonight. And so he provided that, you know, quote-unquote private service for the Cardinals for decades. And so the snow expected, and again, they'll fine-tune this by tomorrow we'll have an updated forecast. But right now it looks like the snow will start either very late tomorrow night and then continue into Saturday, maybe midday, and then it'll be over. And it'll be like 2 to 3 inches in most places. Now I'm going to backpedal a little bit here to the thing we opened with, the Daryl Hammond thing. Daryl Hammond started doing stand-up in Florida, where he's from, then moved to New York and did the whole Saturday Night Live thing for years and years and years, and then started doing stand-up again after a many, many year layoff. And Daryl has been very candid with us and with other people about the fact that he has psychological issues that affect his self-esteem along with other things. It's a form of depression, bipolar, you know, that whole genre of psychological issues. And so he'd be on television making people roar with laughter, doing whatever he was doing, the Bill Clinton imitation, Dan Rather thing was absolutely hilarious, later on Donald Trump, and people would be rolling in the aisles. They'd be laughing. And he would go back to his dressing room just full of self-loathing because he just thought everything he did was terrible. And that is very, very difficult to imagine. It's like, well, what? Can't you hear the people cheering? And it doesn't register. It goes into his brain differently than it would for you and I. And I think that whole situation was exacerbated by what was going on in his love life. He was married, and then they split up, and then they got, I don't know if they got married again, but they got back together again, and he was very, very hopeful about it, but the whole thing broke up again. There are more stories like that than you think. The most famous morning radio host in Chicago was a guy by the name of Wally Phillips on WGN, and same thing with him. Got married, you know, had kids, whole thing, marriage busted up, they divorced, and then they ended up getting remarried. But, you know, when you're getting up at 1 o'clock in the morning to go to work, I'm sorry, you just cannot have a normal life. It's just not possible. For most of the time that you heard me on St. Louis radio, I would get up every day at 4:15. That's bad enough because you're going to, you know, it's like 8:30 at night and you're ready to just, you know, drop off. There's a lot of people, it's like 8:30, they're just getting ready to go out. And I think that's why, you know, as a breed, we morning radio people, and now obviously the podcasting universe, really sort of out of step with the rest of quote-unquote normal society. People are like, that guy's really weird. It's like, yeah, you're right. I'm not going to deny it. We're really weird. Try getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning every day for 40 years and tell me what happens to you. But Daryl's a really, really nice guy, a really sweet guy, by the way. And, you know, he came to town once to do his comedy show. And you may remember this if you were listening to the old morning showgram on K-Hits 96 when that was around. And, you know, he was just in town for like 2 nights to do comedy shows. And we called up the Cardinals and said, you know, Daryl Hammond, huge, huge baseball fan. Could, you know, you got anybody throwing out the ceremonial first pitch tonight? And then, like, you know, have him come by. So he got to throw out the first pitch, got to keep the ball, got a couple of autographs and stuff like that. And he told us that he carried that ball with him in his travel bag wherever he went. That was like a really, really big major event in his life. And it should be, too. But what a strange affliction to have. Like I said, don't ever think you know everything there is to know about somebody. Everybody, and I mean everybody, is dragging something around. They're dragging something around. Either they got a kid, somebody in the family who's causing trouble. There's some sort of illness in the family. They're not happy about something. Maybe somebody's having money or tax issues. You know, you don't know anything about it. And like I said, everybody's dragging something around. By now, you've heard that Ronnie Spector lost her battle with cancer yesterday. She was 78. Be My Baby, pretty damn good song with the Ronettes. Also, Sleigh Ride. People forget that she did that at Christmas time. Sang background vocals on Eddie Money's Take Me Home Tonight. And one of my all-time favorite songs, I Want to Go Back by Eddie Money and Ronnie Spector. 78 years old. And you may recall 2009 getting the dubious nickname the Summer of Death. Remember that? Where it just seems like everybody was just dropping one after another. Yeah, 2009 was the year. It started on May 4th, 2009 when Dom DeLuise passed away, and then Michael Jackson and Farrah Fawcett died on the same day. Walter Cronkite, Ed McMahon, Billy Mays, remember that guy on TV, David Carradine, Carl Malden, Robert McNamara, John Hughes, the movie director, Eunice Shriver, Eunice Kennedy Shriver, Don Hewitt, the longtime producer of 60 Minutes over at CBS. And that wasn't just the year 2009. That was all just the summer. Even Gidget the Chihuahua died from the Taco Bell commercials. And so far this year, it's only January 13th. Look at how many people we have lost. This is scary. Tell you what else is scary. These numbers coming out of Jefferson County. Here's the latest COVID data on Jefferson County. 2,806 new and confirmed probable COVID cases. 2,800 just in Jefferson County alone. 62% of all those cases involve unvaccinated people. 62%. 30% of the people in Jefferson County coming down with COVID were quote unquote fully vaccinated. And if you were fully vaccinated and boosted, the number drops all the way to 6%. There's also a 34, almost 35% COVID positivity rate. They want it to be about 5 to 10%. And truthfully, about 5. So you're only 30% off in Jefferson County. So these numbers make it more and more difficult for the conspiracy theorists and the anti-vaxxers to make any sort of convincing case. I don't know what else you need. But also, you know, you get these people who just don't believe the numbers. I have a friend like that, a very, very good friend, great guy. I've known him for years and years and years. But I know better now not to get into a discussion about politics with him, because I will say we got into a discussion about gas prices. And this was, I don't know, over the summer. And people would start to complain about the gas prices under the quote unquote Biden administration, even though everybody who really understands this knows that whoever's president, whether it was Trump or Biden or anybody, have very little to do with the price of gasoline. There's all sorts of other factors that, frankly, the president has almost nothing to do with the price of gasoline, but people will refuse to believe that. But even the people who do understand that the president doesn't have that much to do with the price of gasoline, and I remember saying to him, all right, the price of gasoline right now, yes, it's higher. It's also the exact same price that it was in the first year of the Trump administration. He said, where'd you get those numbers? I said, well, the government. He goes, and you believe the government. I'm like, well, yes and no. I mean, I don't believe anything the government tells me either, but if they say it's Tuesday, I'm not going to argue with them. And the numbers were available in more places than just government numbers, you know, the oil and gas industry. And there are some things that are just intrinsically true. And if you went to the gas station in the first year of the Trump administration, the price was, you know, whatever it was, you know, 205, whatever. And that's what the price is now. And so you can't have a logical discussion or argument with somebody if they just reach this point where as soon as they hear something they don't like, they just pull out that thing about, well, I don't believe those numbers. Why not? Well, from the government. I don't believe what the government says. Okay, where do you go? Where do you go now? And where I went is that I just refused to talk to him about politics anymore. It's because I know he's going to do that, and it sort of pissed me off last time, and I just don't want to have that kind of relationship with the guy. Why do I feel so exhausted after telling these stories? God, I get winded sometimes. Kanye West reportedly to meet with Vladimir Putin. He wants to make Russia his second home. I got an idea, Kanye. Make it your first home. Aaron Rodgers says his fractured toe should be 100% by the first playoff game. I don't think we knew that the toe was fractured. We knew he was having some sort of problem with the toe, but nobody knew it was actually broken, which damn fracture is just a small break. The governor of West Virginia is apparently not doing well. 70 years old. He's got COVID, and they're trying to save his life. They describe him as being extremely unwell, which is a way of saying really sick. Here is a non-COVID story, but I love it anyhow. A Florida man, a Republican, a former chief of staff of a GOP state senator, a gun lover, in a road rage incident, rammed his BMW into the Prius of a driver's door and began pushing the car sideways in the parking lot, then shot a gun at the white Prius. According to sources, the Prius driver drew a gun and fired back, killing John Kuzwanski. It's ironic that this guy likely thought he was pulling his firearm on some anti-gun liberal Prius driver and ended up dead. And back to COVID, you know I had more COVID stuff. How about this? Researchers at Oregon State University have identified hemp compounds that show the ability to prevent the virus that causes COVID-19 from entering human cells. According to the university, a pair of cannabinoid acids bind to the COVID-19 spike protein, which stops the virus from infecting people. OSU said spike protein is the same drug target used in COVID-19 vaccines and antibody therapy. Wouldn't that be something if they found out that you smoke a little weed and you greatly reduce your chances of contracting COVID? I am willing to make that sacrifice. There's a major broadcast company that owns a bunch of stations really in all the big markets across the Fruited Plains, owns 6 radio stations in St. Louis, and they are turning a lot of their energy and attention to the metaverse. The metaverse. Now, this is a broadcast company, owns radio stations, but for some reason now they're obsessed with the metaverse. And somebody said, you know, we keep hearing that term metaverse. Can you explain to us what it is? And they're like, oh yeah, we can clear that up right away. Here's the metaverse: a simulated digital environment that uses augmented reality, virtual reality, and blockchain, along with concepts from social media, to create spaces for rich user interaction mimicking the real world. Well, thanks. Good luck trying to fly. United Airlines said yesterday that 3,000 employees are currently testing positive for COVID-19. None are hospitalized. And last week, this total asshole, Jim Hoff, who calls himself the Gateway Pundit, and this guy has been spewing out sewage on his website for years. It's a far-right website, spreads a lot of conspiracy theories and stuff like that, based out of St. Louis. This guy published an article falsely implying that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention had withdrawn authorization of all PCR tests for detecting COVID-19. The article picked up 22,000 likes, comments, and shares. The only problem is it's completely false. And popping up, we knew there was one in Fairview Heights, and now they're popping up in other places across the city of St. Louis, too. You're driving along, and all of a sudden you see a big white tent with a very impressive-looking sign that says COVID testing, and there's cars lined up, and you're like, oh, look, the line's not that long. Let me get in line here and get a COVID test. And then they come by, and they get tons of personal information, stuff that they would not need to know to do a COVID test on you, like your driver's license number and your social security number. And then they get your email address, and they're like, okay, come on by here. You're 35th in line. You'll get the test, and then we will email you the results of your test. There's only one problem: the whole place is bogus. And there were even stories of people getting COVID test results while they were still in line. And there were some even people, I don't know if this was this Gateway Pundit guy or not, but this thing went viral very, very quickly, and it forced the CDC to produce a statement that basically said the CDC did not withdraw authorization of PCR tests. The counts for flu and COVID-19 cases have not been combined. There was even a story that the PCR test was actually a vaccine in disguise. Don't get the PCR test because they're tricking you. And another guy, what did he post? Oh, he said the at-home rapid tests have a predetermined result, and that all sorts of different liquids could turn them positive. And the CDC is like, all of these things are lies. They're just the shit that people are putting up on the internet. None of it's true. Please. I'm trying to see if there's any more COVID stuff out here. I want to get it all out of the way at one time here. Oh, yeah. Dr. Dre scheduled to do the Super Bowl halftime show with Eminem, Snoop Dogg, K. Kendrick Lamar, Mary J. Blige. But if the show gets canceled because of COVID, Dr. Dre is out millions of dollars. He is reportedly putting up most of the money for the show himself, and he does have an event cancellation insurance policy, but there's a catch. Ever since the SARS outbreak of the early 2000s, insurance companies have been building communicable disease exceptions into those policies. So basically, the one thing that could lead to the cancellation of the show at this point is the one thing he's not insured for. Not that he doesn't have millions to spare, but he did just shell out $100 million in his divorce settlement, so he would not be happy with another huge loss. And if there's any more COVID news, I don't care because I'm not doing any more. Yesterday, we did a story about the fact that, the Oscars have been going without a host for the last couple of years. It used to be a really, really big thing. You know, you had Johnny Carson for years and years hosted the Oscars, and then you had those great Billy Crystal years. I was never a fan of the Whoopi Goldberg years. There were a couple of other people that were in there, obviously David Letterman. They had that disastrous thing back in the 80s where they had Rob Lowe singing to Snow White. It was like, what are you guys doing? What are you doing? So anyhow, the last couple of years, no host. They just had, presenters and stuff like that. So yesterday, they're like, we think we are going to go with a host this year. And people immediately started, speculating as to who it's going to be. Apparently, Tom Holland, as we reported yesterday, has expressed interest in hosting the Oscars. Well, it turns out that apparently the person that they are trying to get and that they are currently in discussions with about hosting the Oscars, are you ready? You think you're ready. You're not ready for this. Pete Davidson. That's the name that has emerged as, I don't know if I'd go so far as to say the likely host, but it sure seems like that's the direction they're going in. This is just absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible what's happening involving Pete Davidson. American Idol coming back on February 27th, and they have something even better than a golden ticket, a platinum ticket. It allows the recipient to rest during Hollywood Week and choose who they want to duet with. 9 of these were handed out. A so-called fan approached Ruth Buzzy. Remember her from Rowan and Martin's Laughing in the 60s? So she's 85 right now. She's sitting there at a Cracker Barrel. Somebody recognizes her and says, I thought you were dead. And she responded, sorry to disappoint you. Late Night Tonight, Jimmy Fallon's got Willem Dafoe, Peter Dinklage on with Kimmel, Stephen Colbert's got Liev Schreiber, and Tracy Ellis Ross on with Seth Meyers. How big a dick is this Novak Djokovic? This guy is bucking for being one of the most unpopular people in the world right now. Tests positive for COVID and still goes around taking pictures and hugging people and doing stuff like that. Apparently, this only murders in the building thing with Steve Martin, Selena Gomez, and Martin Short has really caught on because they're doing a season 2 and they have added to the cast Shirley MacLaine and Amy Schumer. Birthdays today, Liam Hemsworth, younger brother of Luke and Chris, 32. Ruth Wilson from The Affair on Showtime. She was Allison. She got that duck face, 40 today. Orlando Bloom, 45. Patrick Dempsey from Grey's Anatomy, 56. Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Her family has all the money in the world. Her father is a billionaire. She's 61 today. Richard Mull. They always say really, really tall people don't live long. Richard Mull from Night Court, 79. It was 20 years ago today, 2002. The story was that George W. Bush was watching a football game and he choked on a pretzel and showed up the next day with a Band-Aid on his face somewhere. And it was 159 years ago today, 1863. Thomas Crapper unveiled his invention, the one-piece pedestal flushing toilet. Thanks, Thomas. And this guy really needs to get his own place. 46-year-old Michael Caranda works as an elementary school teacher. He teaches music in South Dakota, lives with his 73-year-old mom, Irene. So last Monday night, he made a big pan of brownies before bed. Then Irene found them the next morning and decided to take them to a card game at her local senior center. You guessed it. They were not only pot brownies, they were very strong pot brownies. So Michael had just gotten back from a trip to Colorado where he picked up a bunch of THC butter and he cooked half a pound of it into the brownies. 911 started getting calls about 8 o'clock that night about multiple seniors who said they'd been poisoned. Turned out they were just really baked. Recreational marijuana is still illegal in South Dakota, so police figured out what happened, showed up at Michael's school the next day, arrested him. He's facing charges for possession of a controlled substance, which is a felony. He could face up to 5 years in jail, plus a $10,000 fine. And more people are catching a hybrid of COVID and the flu called Flu-Rona. I guess if that's possible, how the hell is Charlie Sheen avoided syphilaria? And with that, we say that's it. The Thursday, January 13th, 2022 edition of the J.C. Corcoran Podcast here at jconline.com is in the can. We are publishing this baby every weekday morning at about 7 o'clock. It's absolutely free. We archive everything, so if you miss one, you can binge if you so desire. We only do politics when it's completely and just unavoidable. We accept emails at jc@jconline.com, Facebook, the showgram with J.C. Corcoran, but I won't be posting for a couple of weeks because apparently when somebody posts this idea of intentionally contracting COVID to, quote, get it over with, end quote, apparently telling somebody that that's a really stupid idea constitutes bullying in the world of Facebook. So we'll see you in a couple of weeks, but we'll see you right back here tomorrow morning at jconline.com. And in the meantime, we beat this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.